The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
So, in the studio, we've got my favourite counsellor in, John Howe. Afternoon, John, you alright?
Hi, yeah, fine, thanks.
And my second favourite councillor, or town councillor.
Parish councillor.
It's like a half councillor, aren't you?
It's parish councillor. Yeah, I'm half a councillor, I'm not a proper one.
Anyway, look,
I'm a parish councillor.
You're a parish councillor as well?
Yeah, 40 years.
Wow. How long have you been a councillor for, John?
What, full council or
yeah,
parish council?
Full councillors as well.
I'm in my third term.
So 12 years at least.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So you really are a community man then?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Born and bred on the island?
Of course.
So it's a wonderful thing, and I say, on behalf of a lot of sensible people, because there are a lot of people out there,
of course there are,
like Ali, that just ask questions without actually doing any homework. But, you know, on behalf of those sensible people, I would like to say thank you for the service that you give us. I know you're a genuine guy, and I know you put a lot of hours in, and you've got their best interests at heart.
I do it because I love it, really.
Now, which is great to hear. You know, you're not just saying that, are you?
No.
No, it's all right then.
No, I do love it. It's like a hobby. You know, people build aeroplanes, people go do sports. I just like the debate and the counselling.
So you've been a councillor for 12 years, been a town councillor for around 40 years, which, just so everybody knows, I know you're over there in Freshwater somewhere. But
Totland.
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 Oh, right, okay,
yeah,
Totland.
Right, sorry.
Totland, all right. Who shouted Totland? Was that you?
No, it is Totland. You've got to get it in the right place, well, because see, people
I know,
get defensive.
I know,
but
I've only ever seen you in Freshwater.
Well, I'm sorry, but we've got the main icon of the island, the Needles. That's in Totland.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, there you are. I mean, the last time I saw you, John, was a couple of weeks ago, because you turned up at one of our events, but the time before that you were at Freshwater Sports Centre, because they used to do discos over there, and they used to have the youngsters come in, and they used to be looked after with information from the local police, with the dangers of drugs and so on and so forth. Is that the sort of stuff you get involved in?
Oh yeah, I'm a trustee there. Would you believe that Totland Parish Council, which had at the time had an income of about 15,000, built a £3 million sports centre?
How incredible. And that happened on your
without
watch.
And they built it, and no overspend and no cost to the parish councillors or anybody. We got it up to the time, and that was done by the Isle of Wight Council Property Services, who supervised it.
How things have changed since then, though, because obviously you've had to encounter massive cutbacks. How hard is it?
Oh, it's terrible. It really is. Everybody's struggling to cut back. Departments are cutting back. People are struggling to do their jobs with less and less people. It really is bad. And it's the government have really hammered the nails into the coffin bit by bit. And all the things that statutory things we have to do, but all the stuff that's not, like libraries and other things like that, we just struggle to get them done. Unfortunately, we're very lucky that the parish councils, who actually are allowed to increase their precepts, have actually taken on the responsibility, because I think without the parish and town councils, we'd be in a right mess now.
Do you ever get to the point in your mind where you think, you know, there might not be a council if we carry on making these cutbacks?
Well, I don't know where the government want to go with this, because, I mean, I spend a bit of time in America where my son lives, and it just seems to me that the way they get out of it is they pour more money into it, to get it going and to get... I mean, I've always believed that if people are earning money, they're spending money, and therefore that gets all everything up and running.
Sure.
If you take the money out of it... I mean, could I just explain? If you've got a household budget and you've got less income coming into that house, then you cut back. You don't have a holidays, you don't spend it on gifts. So therefore, when you're not spending the money, then you're putting other people trying to earn money through travel or something like that, you put them out of work. Yeah. So it's just falling down.
Knock-on effect, yeah, all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, so you really got to invest that money back into the country to actually get things up and running.
So, I mean, it's not rocket science, is it, really? I mean, it's common sense. But do you feel as though in the future, because there were rumours, I know that there's like we're supposedly merging, or there's talk of merging with a, you know, making a super council. But in the last couple of years, it's been mentioned that there won't be a council, because head office will run it and they'll just come in, because we just can't do the amount of stuff that we're doing because we just don't have the funds to do it.
I'm sorry, I'd hate to think it does. I really do. I think we should stop that, because people like yourself, I mean, you're an islander, you know.
Sure.
You don't. If you become a minority voice in a larger council, if you say you went part of Hampshire, it's good to work with them, and their officers are very good. But if it was a mixed council, you'd be a minority voice. How are you going to guarantee that you're going to bring some money to the island?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, but do you ever worry about it? Because there was talk that was what was going to happen.
Well, I always worry about it, because I think that we're struggling on less and less money all the time. And again, going back to the household way of doing things, there is a limit where you can't go any further. And we've seen people having to go to food banks and stuff like that because they can't afford to live. And that's, just imagine the same thing's happening with the council. If we can't afford to pay for all the services, where are we going to go?
You've got nowhere to go, have you? You know, there's no extra income from anything. And like you say, it's a lot of the town and the parish councils are taking on services rather than losing them. So, you know, that's community, isn't it? That's what people
do.
I
would like to say about Jonathan Bacon, I mean, I've never seen a leader or a person like him that spends so much time trying to sort out problems, and he's given most of his life to trying to do this, and I'm so impressed that he's trying to solve it, and yet he's almost like trying to walk the wrong way up an escalator.
So the trouble is that is the nature of the beast. I happen to think, I know we all know Jonathan because he does a show round here. I happen to think that Jonathan has probably got we know he's got a huge task. As anybody that has had it the last couple of years, they've got a huge task. But I think with Jonathan, I think he just comes across as this caring sort of bloke. He's a really down-to-earth kind of bloke. And I think, you know, he's got potential to be one of the most popular councillors or council leaders that we've had in years. Because I don't remember too many popular ones in the last sort of 20-odd years. I really don't. That people remember with fondness. Even though I think some of them probably at heart in the right place, I think Jonathan's got massive potential there. But his hands are tied. And how frustrating is it for you guys that, you know... Because let's be honest, you know, the reasons why we're having the cutbacks is because this current government are making those cutbacks, and I think, I'm just thinking now that I'm beginning to see that there are people that are actually opening their eyes and realising that it's not the council's fault, blooming council, making cutbacks, it's actually the government that are making the cutbacks. They're enforcing that, not you guys.
Well, we're going back again to the household thing, you know, if your employer decides that he's not going to give you, he's going to cut your wages in half, how are you going to manage? You still get the bills coming in.
Sure.
You've still got the costs. There are, you try and cut back with, like I say, with holidays and stuff like that, but you get to a position where you run out of that, you know, and you're then thinking, well, can I afford the electric bill? Can I afford the gas bill? Am I going to get the food bill? You know, can I afford to live anymore? And then the government say, well, we're going to knock another 10%. It's like almost like strangling people and saying, well, is this hurting you now?
Yeah.
You know, can you still breathe?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you can still breathe, we'll strangle you a bit more.
Yeah. And by the way, we'll give ourselves a nice little pay rise.
Well, yeah, it just seems to me that I mean, I'm not sure. We haven't... Councillors, I mean, I don't mind, but councillors haven't had a pay rise for years and years. No, but councillors, they haven't. No, I know you didn't. But councillors vote that every year not to have a pay rise, because we can't see the position of us taking any more money at the same time when people are struggling and when our staff have been struggling.
Yeah.
John, you said you've been on the in County Hall for the last 12 years. How have you seen things change? I mean, I was thinking to myself the other day, how long ago was it before the council leader had his own car that drove him around, that the chairman had the same? He had a car, didn't he?
Well, when I joined the council was in 2001, so I was there for 4 years. Then I didn't get elected for the next 4 years. Then I was elected again for another 4 years, and then there was this term. When I first started with the council, there was a lot of money around. The people used to go off to conferences. I went off to conferences, and this sort of thing. As you say, the chairman had a car. I mean, the car was pretty old.
There was
a
fleet of cars, though, wasn't there?
There was only one car for the chairman. The chairman was the only person that had a car. The Lord Lieutenant had a car, but that was nothing to do with the council. High Sheriff, I think, had a car, but that was nothing to do with the council either. It was only the chairman that had a car. And it was a pretty ropey car at the end, and it was... I think that eventually the car was worth, I mean, I think it was two grand or something like that it was sold for, so it shows you it was a pretty ropey sort of car in the end. But it looked, it was flashy, but it really wasn't worth anything.
But going back 8 or 9 years, there was money about in the council,
there
wasn't
was a there? Lot more money
there was
coming
a lot
in.
Of money splashed about on the council. Was it not foreseen that we would be where we are?
I think it was foreseen that we may have to cut back, but I don't think that anyone ever believed that they would try and do everything all in 4 years.
Mm.
I don't think people would believe that.
I'm just going from an islander's point of view that 10 years ago, when my children were at school, I was doing a shoebox at Christmas for the littlings out in orphanages in Romania and all. And we've just launched an appeal. Can we do the same for people on the Isle of Wight? I think it's absolutely disgusting that we're even in this position in the first place.
Well, that's
right. I just think with a bit of hindsight, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, when money was being splashed around...
It's a good point to make.
There's a long-term, isn't there? There's a long-term knock-on effect, well, and that's what we're getting now.
Could I just raise something about parish town councils?
Of course you can, John.
Right. Now... I said just now that if it wasn't for the town and parish councils, we'd be in a real hole.
Mm.
Now, town and parish councils are allowed to increase their precept. They can make it whatever they want it to be, whereas we're tied down,
yeah,
we can't. So the parish councils come along and they take over local facilities. Now, if you're a small parish council, you can't guarantee that the money coming into your parish council... or the money the parish council people in your area are spending is actually going to be spent in your area for facilities that you want.
No, that's true.
But if the parish council or town council are raising their own money, it then means that they can guide that money to where they want it to be. Do you want to keep your library open? Do you want to run the public toilet in your area? Do you want to do this? So your local residents are still paying out the same amount of money, except that they're paying it to the parish council for them to spend, and therefore you can look after what you hold dear, like the West White Sports Centre. Now, West White Sports Centre don't get a... because the council weren't able to pay them any money to looking after it, the parish councils came forward, and all the parish councils in the area gave an amount of money to the sports centre.
Because there's different parishes actually using the facility.
That's right.
And that's what's trying
And they
to
feel
be
that they
now,
needed to
it?
Keep that sports centre open. Ventnor was another place, a lot of facilities they paid for under Steve Stubbins down there. He got the parish, he asked the residents what they wanted, and they wanted to keep it open. They were quite happy to pay for it. But they would normally be paying more money to the Isle of Wight Council to spend it, and now they're paying for the
town and parish councils to direct where it's spent.
Hey, we've got loads of questions. I mean, we've got plenty of time as well. If somebody wants to call, then feel free. 240 666 is the number. I want to, you know, ask you many questions, but recently you got the ump about something, or you expressed an opinion. And
I never express opinion, because there are always people that don't like it.
So come on, tell us what that was about. Do you want to outline the story?
Well, I'd like to say that I've been a governor of Western School, which were originally Totland Primary School, for 38-39 years, and we became an academy about 3 years ago, and now they're closing it. What I didn't like about it, Ian, was that there's different rules. Now, if the council had decided to close a school, they would have to go through a lot of consultation, probably taking a term, maybe even two terms to actually get there. With an academy, it seems to me that they can close the school in a matter of a couple, two or three weeks. The Secretary of State signs the thing, and they just close it. And the Isle of Wight Council have got no input into it whatsoever. But it's the Isle of Wight Council and the Hampshire officers that have to rearrange to find placements for these children.
Sure.
Now, just imagine that AET decide, I'm not saying they're going to, but just say, for instance, they decided to close Sandown, because they don't know.
Let's point out that Sandown is an academy. This is the point you're making.
It's an academy, The government seem to have different rules for academies who want to close against rules for all councils closing a school. And that's what I find difficult, because you should be the same rules. You know, people in the West White were very angry because really they felt that whatever they did, nobody would listen to them, and they just wanted to just get on with it and close it.
And the council were powerless to do so.
The council got no say in it. It's just between the academy and the Secretary of State.
Because it's privately owned, isn't it?
AET.
So how daft is that? That someone sitting in an office somewhere, and might not even come to the Isle of Wight, they just make that decision with a stroke of a pen, that's it, that place is shut down. Is that what's happened?
Well, virtually, yeah.
And you could say, you're saying that, that Sandown, don't sit too pretty, because this could happen to you.
Well, I'm just worried. I'm just concerned that if it's that easy to close an academy, then it does worry me that it could happen to anybody that's an academy.
Do they run any other ones on the island, John?
AET runs Sandown and Ryde.
Okay. See, and it's down to profit, isn't it? That school wasn't making any money. They were making a loss. And is that why it closed? I know it was failing.
Well, it's not a matter of they said that the numbers were falling to a position where they had to. Now, my argument is not the reason for deciding it. My opinion is that they let, before the term started this year, they let it run for four weeks. Just imagine you've got a child, right?
Sure.
And you just start in school, 4 years old, and you take the child to the school, got his nice new uniform, and you go in the school and you say, this is your new school, and this is it. And 4 weeks down the line, they come back to the parents and say, sorry, we're closing.
Yeah.
You know, or you've got kids that have been there all their year up to 11, and they're in their final year before they go to secondary school, and they're saying, sorry, you can't have your final year here now, you've got to go somewhere else. You know, it just doesn't seem the right way of doing it. It just doesn't seem fair.
And also the fact that we are, I mean, it's no secret, we've had issues with, you know, school reports and records and so on and so forth. We're going in the right direction. This is just going to be a little step back for those poor kids that are actually going to that school now.
Yeah, and of course the teaching staff, 4 weeks after starting the term, they're told they haven't got a job anymore once the Christmas
There's coming. A knock-on effect here, isn't there?
And like you say, the ease with which it seemed to be done.
That's the scary part
Yeah,
now.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad you came in and explained all of that, because it now makes sense to all of us all, and we're probably looking at it and thinking, well, yeah, you've explained it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense because it's happened. How definite is it going to happen? Is there
well, the Secretary of State, as far as I've made out, has actually signed the closure notice.
Right. So there's no going back now?
Well, no, as far as I see. I mean, unless somebody was prepared to take it on, no.
I'm guessing that people are asking you, because this is in your town, this is in your, you know, place of where you're a councillor. What have you done anything about it? Do you need?
Well, I can't do anything. That's the problem. I feel frustrated. I was on the management board, right? I go away on holiday. Do you mind if I go through this?
I go away on holiday.
I go to the States. I come back. We haven't got a governor's board anymore. AET have dissolved that, and they put in a management committee. You're on the management committee. One or two people they've decided. They put in their own chairman. So I go along to the first meeting, and it's not very good. I wasn't very happy because I really didn't understand what the hell they were on about half the time. And then they close the school, right? So they call another management committee, and I go along, and there's the chairman sat there, right, and the clerk, and me. Everybody else has left, resigned, didn't turn up because they were so fed up with it. That wasn't the word I was thinking of, but I was there.
It wasn't the word I was thinking of either.
But everyone was fed up. And I said, well, I'm not staying now. I'm going to resign because I'm not. It's as though I'm supporting it. I hated the way it was done. Mm. The parents are angry. They seem to think that the council are responsible, but they're not. What are the council doing about it? Well, the council can't do anything about it because the government have overruled them.
Yeah.
You know, if we've had closures there before. This is third, fourth one or something. And every time it's been the council one, we've been able to fight it and get it back and up and running. Right? We can't do it now because the government there, a man sat in an office which you can't get hold of and talk to, Secretary of State sat there. Oh, well, we'll close this. That's right. I'll just sign my name.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So what... Okay. So what do you do? I mean, it must be really difficult for you because, you know, this is... What can you do now?
I could go dig a big hole in the ground and bury myself in it.
It's a bit drastic.
Don't do that because you need planning permission for that.
Do you? Yeah. Well, I could start it now.
So what can you do?
You can't do anything. That's the problem. And everybody thinks you can. And how do you do it? You're challenging the Secretary of State and you can't even speak to the guy.
Well, surely we should be able to challenge the Secretary of State. Who's this fellow that works? Andrew Turner. What are we doing? Are we having a word with him? He's our
Well, they've
MP.
Had a word for him. It's
and what's he up to? What's he doing?
Do you really...
What's he doing about
as far as I know, nothing.
So, right, okay. So, what can we do? Because I feel
what
like...
What could you do? I don't know. I mean, I've never been in this position before because it's the first time on the island that an academy has actually closed a school. I mean, I don't know. These free schools, how do they close? What happens if they decide they don't want to run anymore? I mean, I'm not saying they are, but, you know, how does that work?
But 3 years into taking over a school isn't a very long time at all, is it?
No.
To take that on as a business, as a school, as an educational facility, and then 3 years, we're going to close that.
I mean, but everybody runs something, don't they? And everybody knows what the rules are. You know, there's the Fit Bus in the West White, and it's running beautifully, and they're doing a good job. And we know that how they're getting on, and I go, I'm a trustee, and we know that it's all working out fine. But as a governor of the school, I don't know. Nobody's asked me, oh, we're thinking of closing the school. What do you think about it? I've had a letter which says, we're closing the school. I mean, that's it.
So there was no consultation between governors, between the parents, nothing?
No.
See, that is...
It's wrong.
And isn't it scary, like John's just said, to think that maybe today... they might decide the same about one of the other schools that they run on the island, and in 2 weeks' time, there's a notice there saying they're closed as well.
Well, let's ask the question. That school that you know quite a bit about, more than the person that said, sorry, we can't run, and we're signing this, so you can't run this school anymore, let's be honest, they've probably not visited the school. If they have, it's probably only once. Okay, so you know a lot about the school. Is that school a viable school? Are they shutting it for shutting its sake? Are they making a mistake?
In my opinion, it was improving. It was getting a lot better. And, you know, parents like the school.
What's the reason why they're given the shutting it?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't seen what they've told the Secretary of State. That's the problem. You don't see any paperwork. You don't see the application they put forward to the Secretary of State for the closure.
Well, all I want to say is, John, is that you look like a guy, I know you're a guy, that has got the heart in the right place. And you look like a guy that, at the moment, today, you look like a guy on this one particular issue that a man is beaten, okay? And I'm looking at you and thinking, right, okay, if you want somebody to stand behind you and prop you up a bit, then you've got two people here, and I'm sure other people... So tell us, what do we need to do? Otherwise, it's a case of we'll lose this school.
Right to the Secretary of State.
Do you have his address? That's what we should do.
Talk to Andrew Turner. He's the man that knows the Secretary of State.
But Andrew Turner so far has done nothing.
Well, as far as I know, he's not done anything.
Have you asked him to do something? Specifically, have you
asked him? No, but I know the parents have. I mean, I feel that the parents have been there and they've said they haven't had much help.
So what about if you went to Andrew Turner now and said, hey, Andrew, can you help? Will you help? Publicly ask him, can you help this situation?
Well, I can do, but...
Because I think that's what we've got to do. Otherwise, you're going to lose it.
Well,
we can't if we can't sit back and do nothing. Nothing is not an option, because all that will happen is that school will close. Mm. Surely in the past, you know, we've stood up for things in the past on the island, and
we have indeed.
Hands off our hospital. We've said, yeah. You know, and we've won that one. So maybe this is one more that we need to, you know, unite, stand together, and say, hang on a minute, before you shut this down, at least pay us the courtesy to come down and visit and tell us exactly why this school that supposedly is failing, but it's not. It's on the mend, is being closed down. Surely that's not too much to ask, is it?
Well, probably if I'd have stayed on the board, I might have seen someone eventually, but I'm not in a position to... The problem is, in the past, I've always had the opportunity of speaking to the person that's the decision makers, you know.
Yeah.
But now, it just seems to me that the decision makers are a faceless sort of organisation.
And you can't get hold of them.
Well, no, because they're not there.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm just worried about academies in the whole, because they should have to go through the same consultation prior to a closure that the council have to go through.
Sure. That makes sense. Surely they should have the ability to at least be part of the consultation, which that's not happened, has it? They've just said,
well,
basically, it's nothing
you read
to
this
do with
letter.
You.
You read this.
I did.
And it says, I had an email on the 21st, right, telling me that the school's going to close, right? Now, it was sent to me from an officer who's been informed, an officer of Hampshire that was informed prior to me. And I was told the day before it was released to the parents and the teachers and everybody else.
Mm.
Now, how can you actually object to something when they're telling you it's going to close?
No, and in amongst that email that I've just read, it does say that they will hold a meeting on such and such a date, and there's like 2 weeks consultation for the staff, but the decision's already there in the first email that we're closing.
That's right.
It's crazy.
And
what's
it's
the
not
point
fair.
In having a consultation?
You need the schools to be run through the officers of the Isle of Wight Council, who have to consult. I mean, you wouldn't close a school in a term here with the council, and they can close it just like that.
Those parents must be absolutely as though there's nowhere for
them.
Well, they're
so angry, and I don't blame them. I'd be angry. We'd all be angry. If we just take that child to the school and started that child on a new term, new year, and gave them their nice uniform and everything else, 4 weeks later... You've got to prepare yourself to take them out, find them. I mean, I know AET have agreed to buy them, pay for the new uniforms for other schools.
That's not the point.
But that's
though,
not
is
the
it?
Point.
No.
It's just clothes, no. That is.
You know, I know we faced a similar thing in Arrowton when Arrowton Primary School was faced with closure under all three of the then council's reorganisation. Yeah, and we did fight, and
you
that
did.
School now is thriving.
Yeah.
But under all three options, John, that was down for closure.
Yeah, and there is one other problem, that a lot of people don't like their children to go to church schools, right?
Right.
For whatever reason, they like a community school that's not tied to a church. Well, there's six schools in the West Wight. There's St Saviour's, which is a Catholic school. There's All Saints, Yarmouth, Shelfleet and Bryston, which are all Church of England schools. And Weston was the only community school. Now, I don't mind. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of problem with the church schools, but that's only me. But if people feel strongly enough, have they got an alternative? No, they haven't anymore.
So what are we going to do then, John? You look like a man that's like, you know...
Oh, well, I think...
He's got a bit between his teeth,
I think,
hasn't he?
Last time, when they tried to close it during the reorganisation...
You had the back-up of a lot of schools, didn't
you? Well,
it's
great. We had banners, we marched through the school, we had publicity, and the council took notice of that and decided to maintain the schools that were protesting. They listened to the people and decided to do it. But if we could do all this now, but who's going to listen to us?
And who are you protesting to?
Well,
Nobody on the island to protest to, is there?
Secretary of State's the only person that makes a decision.
Well, the only person that can open the door from most people's perspective now is Andrew Turner, then.
Well, he's the only one that's got a link.
A connection, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that some of them have actually written to him, but I haven't heard that he's actually done anything.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what the situation is. Should we message him later?
Pressure could pop round and knock on his door.
Well, we could do. I don't suppose. I suppose he's not in town. He'd be up in London, wouldn't he? Now,
It would be very nice if you got him on here to tell everybody what he's doing about it.
Well, that would be good. I think I might email him later on. In fact, I'm going to email him later on.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure the people in Tottenham would make you an honorary member of Tottenham if you.
I just think it's really sad that, you know, you've got a school there that was turning it around, going in the right direction, and I've got to be honest with you, it might not help the cause, but I can't stand the woman, the Secretary of State, Nikki Morgan her name is.
Yeah.
She is the most irritating lady. I saw her on the television a couple of months ago, and she was asked, because she made this comment about everybody's got to do their times table, and they've got to do it by such and such a date. And when somebody tested her on a times table, I'm not here to answer silly questions like that. And I'm thinking, lead from the front. You will get so much support if you do that. And all she did was she pushed that question away and refused to answer it. I think it's, you know, she went right down in my estimation.
Well, teachers are there to teach. And if you don't, if you employ someone to teach, then let them get on with the job. You know, it's like you going down the garage with your car and you're saying the engine's making a funny noise, and while you're there and you're standing there, now I want you to undo that bolt, and I want you to undo this bolt, yeah, and I want you to alter this, and I want, in the end he'd probably tell you what to do with your car.
That's exactly,
but you can't stand up. If you employ a teacher to do a job as a teacher, then you've got to trust those teachers. You can't just say, you do the job, but I'm going to stand behind you and keep telling you what you've got to do and what you're doing wrong, and
The thing that we ought to point out here, John, is that this person isn't even standing on your shoulder. They're standing in an office, or they're sat in an office hundreds of miles away, making a decision on something, telling you
haven't
how
even
you should
got
get
a clue where the so school is.
Right, and that's what's so frustrating. You can't get to the person that's made the decision, or the council that's made the decision.
Okay, look, we're going to take a break in a moment, and we'll come back and we're going to chat some more. Is there anything else you got the ump about?
No, not really. I've got a lot of things I'd like to get done.
Oh, I have. I've got the hump about something.
Have you?
I'd like to talk about, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Really?
Well,
yeah. That makes a change for you, have you, hump about something, don't you? So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We've got Councillor John Howe in. Lord Howe is in of Totland. And basically we are going to start a campaign in the next 24 hours to save Western School. I think it's got to be done. So we will find out what Andrew Turner is up to. Is he actually putting his weight behind this and putting in some effort?
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. The White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cows to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Lifeline Alarms and Security Services, providing security and alarm services for the leisure industry, domestic and residential, and more, providing access control emergency systems, key holding, installation, monitoring intruder alarms, and much, much more. Check them out at www.lifeline-security.co.uk. Put your mind at rest. Call Lifeline Alarms and Security Services on 01983 521 621. That's 01983 521 621. Lifeline. They put you first.
What is creative design? It's design that works for you to bring value to your business. It enhances your product or service, ensuring your target market identify with your brand. Integrated into print and web communications, creative design from Cross Print Media ensures consistency across all digital media platforms, online and offline. Talk to Cross Print Media. Our team of skilled designers are here to help you. Call 524885 or email us on printmedia@crossprint.co.uk.
White Sight, here's how it works. You need glasses? Visit an optician, then bring your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ryde. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses, stockists of Dior, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Ban and many more. They are an independent retailer, so you can shop locally for first-class service and great glasses. You'll be spoilt for choice. Either visit them in Cross Street Ryde or check out www.whitesight.co.uk.
The 4Ps project is for 11 to 19 year olds and up to 25 years with additional needs. Presenting, producing, promoting and podcasting. Check out www.4ps.org.uk. Sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pet's needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Hi, welcome back. We've got Lord Howe in from Totland, and we've also got Prickles in, and she is, well, from Ayrton. We use it loosely. But there you are. You're a town councillor.
I'm a parish councillor.
A parish councillor, yeah, and John's like the full Monty, isn't he?
He's what they call
a proper councillor.
Well, I'm a proper councillor.
You tell him.
Ah, why did you ask? Now we spoke about the school over there in Totland, which we're going to have a word. We will be sending an email to Andrew Turner just to ask him what the state of play is and what he is prepared to actually do for us, if anything at all. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt for now. But we will put him under a little bit of pressure and ask him that question. Now, lots going on at the moment. You got the ump about something? What? Why?
Well. Last night, because I was working till 9 o'clock, I actually missed my monthly parish council meeting.
Right.
And it's only the third one since I was elected in 2013.
Yeah.
And I just wondered, no, I was going to ask John, how's John's record for his parish council and for full council meetings and things that he has to attend?
That's better than yours.
And how does it compare with our elected councillors over the road?
Over the road?
Over the road at County with, Hall.
At the County Hall, right, yeah. Okay, yeah. All
okay.
Right.
Well, first of all, they all work under the same rules that with full council you have to turn up at least five times during a period of time. If you miss five meetings, you'll likely be expelled. Right. Now, the problem is within the Isle of Wight Council is that people were given committees they need to be on. I'm on a number of committees and I turn up to most of them unless one of them interferes with another one, etc.
Right.
etc. Now, some councillors who work are not able to turn up at all these committees, and fair enough. Some councillors are not on any committees at all. The problem is that there's 40 councillors, right, and there's a hell of a lot of committees. Now, the executive are not on these committees because, to be fair, the executive do a lot of hours. They really do. I mean, you might not believe me, but, I mean, you take Jonathan, for instance. He does hundreds of hours involved in everything. You know, every day he's doing something. But for every councillor that doesn't do much because he's busy or something else, then it means that somebody else has got to pick up the slack.
Right.
So it ends up with councillors on more and more committees to supplement the people that are not on committees. And no, I'm not naming names.
No, I don't want you to name names.
But
I do.
Yeah, I know you do, yeah. Yeah, and then I'll get into trouble, and then everybody's moaning at me, and I'm up to my eyes in emails. But, you know, to be fair, some people do work, and you can't always attend meetings. And so people like who are retired, like myself, we take up the slack. I mean, I used to love it. I used to go to all... When I first joined the council, I attended meetings. I was full-time. I was meetings every day. Loved it. Turn up. Well, somebody's not there. Oh, well, I'll do it. Don't worry. I'll pick up that one, and I'll do this one and that one. And it's great. But, you know, sometimes you get older and you think, well, God, do I have to do that? But... But no, I love it. No, I mean, I must say, I do love it. It's great. But that's what the problem is. Parish and town councils, most people are pretty good on town and parish councils for turning up. People are quite dead. They work hard. They do try and make a difference. And to be quite honest with you, if you can take the politics out of meetings, it's far better because you haven't... If you take the politics out of a meeting, it's great because everybody gives you their ideas of what they think it is, and you haven't got one leader telling somebody, you've got to do it this way or we do it that way.
Do we have that at the moment, John? Is there still like a cat and mouse game going on, or are the councillors pretty much together and know what the job is and they're pulling together?
Well, I've never, and I was a Liberal Democrat for the first 4 years. No, sorry, for the first 8 years, and now I'm an independent. And even as a Liberal Democrat, no one ever told me how I should vote. No one ever did. Well, they were wasting their time anyway.
Right.
But I believe that everybody... I mean, just say, for instance, you stand as a councillor in Newport, in your area, right? And who do you represent? Well, you represent the area... You don't represent the people that just voted for you. You represent everybody who lives in the area.
Right, yeah.
And therefore, you're there to speak on their behalf. Now, if they, council, decided they wanted to do something in your area that your people didn't like, how would you vote? Would you vote against, because your party says this is the way we've got to vote? Or would you say, no, I'm sorry, I've been voted in by these people to represent them. And that's who I'm voting for.
Yeah, I would expect the same thing. I would expect you to vote on my behalf if I'm living in your street.
And I've always done that. And I've always been allowed to do it as a Liberal Democrat. And I've now, as an independent, that's a standard. Nobody's told how they should vote.
So is that the same for everybody in County Hall? All the councillors?
I can't say that the parties, like the Conservative Party, actually, whether they... Whether the leader, I know at one time it always seemed to me that the party, everybody put their hand up. When the leader put his hand up, every Conservative at that time put his hand up.
One thing that used to annoy me about anything political was when people abstain. And you think, why are you abstaining when you should be voting, you've been elected? And just supposing everyone else sort of said, well, when there's an election, we're just going to abstain and we're not going to vote. You know, that frustrates me as well, when people don't, you know, you're there to vote. Do you share the same frustrations?
I think the only time you should abstain is if you've got a vested interest.
Yeah.
If it does, somebody's voting on, say it came up about Vectors Radio, and you'd say, well, I can't vote on this because... I work there, therefore I'm abstaining.
Sure.
I should sit out of it.
Sure.
But that's the only reason. If you've got an interest, a vested interest, then by all means abstain. If somebody was talking about the children's nursery at Totland, which I'm a chairman of, if something came up about that, I'd say, well, I'm sorry, I've got to leave the chamber. I'm abstaining on that vote because I'm
legally
involved in it.
Legally, yeah. You have
I'm not
to.
Financially involved in it, but it wouldn't be fair that I voted.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason people... If you can't make a decision, then you really, you shouldn't be on the council.
No, absolutely. You're too right.
I'm with you. I think it should be a yes or a no.
Yeah, too right. So just going back to the original question, which you sidestepped, what's it like over there now? Are people pulling together in the same way, or is it still like a bit of cat and mouse over there?
Well, there's always people that want to stir it up.
Right.
And they'll stand up and try and wind somebody up, or they'll have a go at them. I don't think it's the right time to do it, but there you are, they do it.
Do you know what, the reason why I ask is because I don't like all that. I think, you know, I'm a great believer in if you should be representing your people. Don't matter what your party says, I'm with you on that. You should be representing your people.
Yeah.
And I've only just cottoned on to the fact that you... I think in the back of my mind, I've known you're an independent, OK? But that's only just been made apparent. I just look at you as you're a councillor and you're doing a job. And you've been doing a great job for the last, you know, X amount of years. And so why can't we, you know, put those colours to one side and work with each other? Do you feel that, you know, the percentage, you know, is there a big percentage of most people do that, or is there still the games that go on?
Well, the main thing, it's take planning. Planning, people have an opinion on planning. And everybody really stands as independent. Everybody has an opinion, and another application come in, and people change, and they have their different agreements and that. And I think that's fine. A lot of groups, they actually decide what they do. Full council is rather like Prime Minister's Question Time. I mean, if I had the way, I wouldn't have full council at all, because I think it's pathetic, people standing up, being abusive to each other, yeah. Trying to make points that are irrelevant. And it seems to me that it almost gets into a bun fight. Like, you know, like Prime Minister's Question Time. They stand up and they're abusive to each other and they're rude.
I completely
agree. It's all unnecessary.
It's almost like you're watching a bun fight, and I was watching football the other night, and the ball went out for a corner, and a guy went over to take a corner. In the crowd is someone doing this at him, doing some signs at him. I'm thinking, that's almost like when you see these people, they stand up and they go, ho, we're the right honourable gentlemen. And you think, God's sake, grow up. What kind of example are you setting to youngsters that want to be involved and vote in politics?
I mean, I can never... I can never understand why people take children up to the House of Commons to watch Prime Minister's Question Time.
You just put them off, wouldn't you?
You wouldn't expect your children to behave like that.
Absolutely.
You go, oh, look at him. You know, why would you interrupt someone? Somebody's speaking. All right. Democracy. Democracy is allowing somebody to have an opinion. Right, so why would you want to cry someone down because they're giving it? You may not agree with it. It may be a horrendous opinion, but it's his opinion,
yeah.
And he's entitled to have an opinion.
I keep saying that to Ali every week, and she still interrupts and tells me I'm wrong.
Yeah,
that's, you know, but
that's your right.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's wrong.
So, hey, look, we are running out of time. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. I mean, there's. Have you still you got the ump about something else? You wanted to ask a question?
Oh, come on, you must have.
That was it. No.
Well, you were asking about Amy just now.
I was.
Amy, yeah, great. Yeah.
Let's get it out there, because I think that what Amy are about to do, because they've only just come in.
I've got an opinion on Amy.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I went down to the local tip. The first weekend they took over, down in Afton Road in Tottenham, Freshwater.
Right.
And I thought, I don't like this. It's not very good. And I spoke to the bloke down there who was come from the main and was organised everything, because they've changed the way they do things. And I said to them, oh, I don't know about this. But then, bit by bit, I was talking to people. They like it. It's great. They're backing in, people are helping them, getting up steps, because they're not allowed. They used to have open fronted tip, but they said it's not legal for people to walk into these things, so they have to go up steps. But there was always someone there to help the people do it. And what I saw was people being and so much better.
Yeah.
So
I would say to people, go and look at these things. Go and ask the questions. If you're not happy with something, ask the questions.
Sure.
I mean, I did something this morning with somebody about ordering bags, ordering these clear bags for their rubbish, people that can't get containers. And I rang up, and the call centre needed to know the address, the name, the person, and everything else. I thought it was excessive. I thought they could have done it a lot quicker, and I wonder whether it would be hard for people, older people, to actually deal with it. You know, but they're in place. They've closed Forest Road. They're going to build a complete new unit there.
Yeah.
They've got new ideas about working and trying to persuade more people to recycle rather than throw it just in the rubbish.
The good thing about that, John, as well, is let's point out as well, this is one of the reasons why I really like what I'm hearing. We went along for the demonstration, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, and I was really impressed with the fact that they are going into schools to show them how they're going to recycle, where the recycling goes, and so on and so forth. So they're putting something in place that mindset for those youngsters, they'll grow into grown-ups and they'll be doing that thing and it'll be so much easier. That's what I like about it. And I think that's involving the kids in the schools, and that's going to help us massively.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that what we should do is we should, if they're not happy about something, if something's not working, well, that's fine. Talk to your local councillor, who will take it up and find out what's wrong. I mean, I remember when Biffa first started having bins put out. You've got to put them outside your gate, you know, yeah. Pick them up. So we had people that were unable to. I had people, every councillor, everyone. And we found ways of taking it up and getting people who weren't able to do it being dealt with, you know, helped. Their bins from the back door were done. And it worked out. Just, I always say to people, if you're not happy with something, speak to your councillor, tell them what you're not happy about, and let him go away and find you an answer.
Yeah, that's probably the best. It is the best way. But from what I'm making out so far, I'm liking what I'm hearing.
Well, they look good.
They're getting involved with the community, and by all accounts, there's chances for those people that are working within the company now. They've been taken across from Biffa, and they've got a chance to improve their chances of a better lifestyle, which I think everyone's a winner.
Well, I mean, I don't think everyone realised how big it is. How big Amy is. It's not a national company, it's an international company. It's got all sorts of things all over the world. It does a lot of ministry of works, all sorts of things. They do airports, different types of things.
I'm thinking about getting a job at Amy.
Well, I should ask them back you.
Anything you want to add about that?
Yeah, no, I was just obviously it's in the news today that our food waste, while they relocate or rebuild or whatever they're going to do with the Forest Road site, it's going to be transferred across to Basingstoke.
Everything's going about, well,
in an anaerobic digester. Is there any reason why there was not negotiations with the anaerobic digester at Arrowton?
I've no idea. Well, look, I really haven't. I'll be honest with you.
I'll tell you why, John. Oh, all right, I'll tell you why. And this is what you need to sort. And this is probably a message to everyone that wants to question anything that the council do or anything anybody does, is find out your facts first. And that's what you need to do.
Okay.
You need to go along to that Arrowton place and say, oi, were you asked to do that? Are you big enough to cope with it? And then we know the facts, like we're going to do today. Andrew Turner, he may already have set the wheels in motion to try and save this school in Totland, but we're going to ask him the question. We're going to put him under a little bit of pressure, gentle pressure at first, then tighten the noose a little bit later. And this is the same thing that you maybe ought to do. Get in touch with Arrowton and say, look, you know, what was this the case? Can you cope? Could you have coped? And so on. Because then you've got the facts.
Because it would make sense to keep it on the island.
Of course
it
would.
If we could keep it on the island, wouldn't
it? Of course it would, absolutely. I'm all for keeping it on the island and keeping that soppy woman that is the Secretary of State off the island and take away her pen so she can't keep shutting down these schools at the stroke of a pen. There's some humour in there somewhere, but there's some anger in there as well. Unfortunately, there is. As I say, I just, you know, I don't like the woman anyway, but, you know, I just think what she's done there is just shutting down a school without giving it any attention whatsoever.
But she probably does that every day of the week, doesn't she?
She
throughout
probably
the
does.
Country, so.
Hey, look, we've got to go. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And thank you, John, for coming in. It's been a real pleasure.
I loved every minute of it.
Good.
Yeah, it's been nice having you here.